The week that was on the Mayo Football Podcast, it's probably a little bit more than a week now as you listen to this. We've had three podcasts making sense of an All-Ireland quarter-final defeat that was a punch to the gut and very much put a full stop on Mayo's 2023 season. John Gunnigan is on board with me. How are you, John?
I'm good, Rob. Yeah, it has, hasn't it? It's kind of a case of all change utterly, because before these three pods, the last one that we had, then we were eagerly looking forward to the quarter final. I guess the big question that was rattling around in our head at that stage was, were Dublin coming into this possibly undercooked? And would that give us the best chance to take them out? Whereas now, you know, a little bit more than a week later, the biggest thing we have in our minds is, you know, when we go to the cinema later on this month, are we going to go to see Barbie or are we going to see Oppenheimer? I know which one I'm going to, Rob. I don't know which, if you're a Barbie or an Oppenheimer man, or whether you want to reveal it at this stage, but that's kind of the territory we're in early July, which is a bit sad.
One of my favorite sentences is, that's a whole other podcast, John. So let's leave that on another podcast. If Dublin were undercooked, I think Dublin are sushi at this stage, because mm-hmm. I think there is no cooking needed to that Dublin team. That said, at halftime, all looked, I won't say rosy, because I think I actually said to you, I think myself and Colin Boyle are on the same page here. I think I said to you, John, you know, we're lucky in one sense to only be a point down. Some people were like, oh, we've left a bit behind us. But, you know, Dublin had those chances at the end and they were coming and they had missed all their shots. So, I mean, what we do on this podcast, folks, is straight afterwards. And it isn't the easiest thing in the world. I think we're getting better at it over time. We give you our first thoughts. And I guess that's where we should start with our look back at the three pods in the aftermath of the defeat.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this little clip it highlights so well what the final whistle is all about. Because I would say it was as long as it took you and I, Rob, to walk down to Billy Joe, who wasn't that far away from us in the Hogan stand, to get going. So probably less than 5 minutes after the final whistle had sounded. And this was Billy Joe's first considered take in terms of what had just happened to us.
Yeah, well, I think look, there's one thing Mayo have been really good at, is being resilient and coming back from defeats. And like, even this year, you saw the game in Kerry after the Roscommon defeat. So I actually think that the young players, you know, they have the energy and the willingness to learn. And there is that mentality in the county to keep coming back after defeats. I actually think more in line of the older players that have suffered, you know, have been here, competed to the last dying second of games, have been close and not able to get over the line. I think some of the older players today, like, I don't know how they come back from it.
I'm worried about the damage to the 2021 crew as well. Like a player like Matty Ryan, players like even Ryan O'Donoghue, these defeats are building up.
They are, and in Croke Park as well. And yeah, but I suppose they have a lot more football to play, but I suppose it's how they react mentally now. You're right, though. You could be concerned how they react mentally. Like, I thought Ryan O'Donoghue was having a really good first half, and you know, I think Fitzsimon spent more time on the second half, and he's still a really, really good player. And Mayo weren't able to get any quality ball in there. Same thing with Tommy Conroy. Like, showed, you know, flashes of real quality in the first half, but just not able to get the ball enough. And that's partly his problem. It was partly the problem of players out the field as well. But you're right, those things will build up on those players. But you know, it's not a case that anything, their mental state is not salvageable. Of course it is.
The voice of Billy Joe Paddon, more from him on our podcast highlight show a little bit later. On the same show, John Casey and Eamon O'Hara were with Mike up in the press box straight afterwards. Both of them were working with RTE Radio, and I think a nice little balance. Two men who live merely kilometres apart, but obviously either side of the border. And it was really interesting to get that neutral view from Eamon and John Casey's own raw reaction. And in particular, it was just a quick eye towards 2024 in this pod.
Yeah, look, it was a very funny, topsy-turvy season, Mike, but, you know, we've lost three championship matches. That's it in a nutshell. Yeah. We've lost against Roscommon, we've lost against Cork, and now we've been pummeled by Dublin. So, I mean, you can't lose three championship matches and expect to be All-Ireland champions, and that's kind of...
Can I ask you a question, Johnny? Would you be as well off then not going gung-ho for your league and really, really focused in on the championship for next year.
Absolutely. That's something that, although you have to say, Eamon, that Dublin and Derry are both in All-Ireland semi-finals and they went gung-ho for Division 2 of the league, and they had a battle here where Dublin wiped the floor with them.
But they also won their provincial finals, and I think that's Mayo's goal next, rather than saying, listen, we need to lie and get an All-Ireland, we need to win a Connacht title.
Winning a Connacht title is absolute, but that was in firmly in the management's plans, Eamon. I mean, Mayo wanted to win everything. That was Kevin McStay. That's something I actually like about them. They'll talk and they're honest about what their intent is and what their ambitions are. And they wanted, like, losing to Roscommon was not part of the plan. I know that for a fact, speaking to them one on one and saying that was not part of the DNA. That was not part of what they wanted. So they had to replan. They had the 6 week break. Now, everyone comes back after they go down and beat Kerry and Killarney for the first time in many years. Everyone goes, this was all part of the master plan. But then you go straight 2 weeks later, then you're playing Louth, and they struggled to score 14 points against Louth, and both Dublin and Kerry scored 10-40 something against.
All right, that was the voice of John Casey and Eamon O'Hara. Very good, very considered. Eamon provided great analysis there as well. Look, the bottom line is he's from another part of the province, and he took no pleasure in watching what happened to Mayo, because as he said himself, he expected a big performance from Mayo and it never came.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you could almost detect a bit of sadness in his voice, because I think he was expecting us to do the business. And it was, I think, for neutrals and for Mayo supporters alike, such a letdown. I think that that segment shows it in those two very different ways.
Definitely. All right, moving on. Our Dublin Review pod in full came out the next day. Colm Keyes and Colm Boyle. Mike was going, Colm, and the lads knew who he was talking to. I was like, do they know? That's all to do with the video we have when we're doing our recording. Very important. Two brilliant voices providing quite the kind of balanced across-the-board view from an ex-player perspective and from, obviously, one of Ireland's leading GA journalists.
It's like a banner being lowered on a battlefield, really. That's the impact. He's seen as a totemic figure in many ways, and I think Dublin know that if they can get at him and get around him and bring him down, that the psychological edge is there very much so. I think he's the Mayo player that certainly the Hill loves to hate in many ways, and they see him as emblematic of Mayo in some ways. That, and to see him taken off, just really is the icing on the cake for them in many respects, that this day is done and we can all go home happy. So I think it was of some significance, but I probably would have been looking to other candidates, really, I think, at that stage.
Yeah, Colm Keyes there speaking about Aidan O'Shea going off, John. The Dublin fans did enjoy that. It's a bit sickening to see the critique, the way they enjoy it all. But like, I think our job here and our job there was to kind of talk to, you know, I sent out a Twitter message to people who follow me and love the podcast about what was exercising them. And it did come up a few times about Aidan O'Shea being taken off. That was a frustration.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the reaction was classless, you know, from I would suggest from people whose first match it was this year, because Dublin haven't been attracting big crowds all year. So I'd say most of the people who are doing the booing there hadn't been at a Gaelic football match all year. And as you quite rightly said in the Hogan stand that day, they were probably only on Aidan's case because he was the only Mayo player that they would have recognised. It left a poor taste in the mouth, I have to say, because, I mean, Aidan O'Shea has been, you know, playing senior football with Mayo for, is it 14 or 15 seasons? And the man deserves a hell of a lot more respect than was accorded to him there.
Has he even, John, got a yellow card in the Dublin fixture in all those years? I don't think he has. I mean, a physical, abrasive player. Has there, like, the Evening Herald find every last drop of something to cling on to? I say the Evening Herald in jest, of course, but, you know, people who would be pro-Dublin, columnists, they would be picking out players, doing any sort of behind-the-scenes video footage of anything that's going on. Has Aidan O'Shea ever even been caught in that? Like, he plays the game with his heart in his sleeve and in a very honest way. He's a target man, and there's a certain amount of pantomime villain in that I think everyone accepts. I mean, the fact that they might jeer and cheer him if he misses a shot, I could acknowledge is just part of the game. But what we're talking about here was below that. I will say the Dublin fans around us in the seated areas, not a word out of them. And that mightn't be the case where you were, but I thought they were absolutely a pleasure to sit with and watch the game with the Dublin fans around us that day. But yeah, I just think it's worth talking about. Obviously, though, John, the lads here and a lot of the chat in our podcast about the tactical decision as well. One of the many question marks that have come up.
Yeah, and they always come up in defeat, don't they? You know, because I mean, people are still talking on the blog and elsewhere about James Horan's decision to take Alan Freeman off early in the 2013 final. That was 10 years ago. The Henley Clark selection will be talked about in 50 years' time, I'd say. And, you know, taking off Aidan O'Shea at the 50-minute mark, you know, I think is destined to join those as a talking point. I think Boyler got it absolutely right when he said it looked very much like a pre-planned move. And I suppose that's why the management are getting it in the neck to a large extent this week, in that it seemed that a lot of the decision-making was mechanistic and it didn't seem to be reacting to what was happening on the field. I think there was, the, in hindsight, there's a very, very good argument for having Aidan O'Shea and Killian O'Connor on the field at that stage. But it wasn't to be, and I think we're destined to be chewing the fat on that one over the long nights that are ahead of us.
A little bit later in that podcast, Colin Boyle on some of the trends that were evident in the game. Here he is.
Like we were talking about after our Roscommon game, how it seemed like we panicked from 20, 25 minutes out. Again, similar against Cork. Against Louth for a lot of it too, but certainly against Dublin. There was a sense of we weren't thinking clearly about what we needed to do to work a score to get us back into the game. I think it's very clear when it was open football in the first half, when we were winning our own long kickouts, it suited us down to the ground. We were getting that long ball inside. When we had to do something different, and Dublin were offering up something different from a defensive point of view, but also they turned up the heat. They cranked up the heat big time. And there was, we were getting far less time on the ball. It looked like we were struggling, and it looked like we were out of ideas, to be honest, Mike. And that's probably the best way I can put it. We never looked threatening. We never looked like we were going to get on a roll, like Colin was talking about there, build up a bit of momentum, you know, get into that flow state. We were in that flow state for 15, 20 minutes in the first half, where just like everything we were going to hit was going to go over. Ryan O'Donoghue was electric for 15, 20 minutes. Tommy Conroy. But once that died, the important thing, I suppose, them boys weren't getting the backup from our half-forward line midfield. You know, half back line, there was no one else coming to support them, you know, and there was no one punching lines in the second half trying to create that energy coming from the back like you might expect a Leroy to do, or you might expect an O'Shea Mullins to do. That's what Mayo look like in a big game in Croke Park without them two boys coming from the back, especially. I think when you throw all them factors in, Mike, it just led to that kind of empty performance that happened in that second half.
Colin Boyle getting a lot of credit on your blog, John, on Twitter as well, and on our own feed in terms of the Discord channel that we have for you great Patreons that are on board with us. If you're one of those who've signed up, patreon.com/Mayo Podcast, thank you for doing so. Thanks for being part of the club, and you know yourselves that you can get that extra bit of interaction. That's another reason to join, folks, if you're just listening in on the free feed and thinking, is it worth it? So much to come, more about that and on, but Colin Boyle has been one of our best contributors this year. He's been with us since he's left the game in terms of the inter-county scene, and I just felt he was ready to go on Monday with Mike, ready to kind of just sit back and just assess this in a solid way.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, should any of us have ever doubted Boyler's ability to be able to segue perfectly from being the all-round combative player he was on the field to being a really insightful analyst. And I enjoy reading his column in the Mirror as well. It's very, very good every week. And he always has a fresh angle to what he has to say. But he's been really good on the pod all week. And I think his double team there with Colm Keyes has worked particularly well this year. And that was a long pod. That was a bumper pod. I think it was about an hour and 10 minutes, but it was compelling listening.
You picked out the next two clips. You picked out all the clips because you're our producer on today's show. But particularly you highlighted these two clips. We've had a lot of conversations about them off air, and we'll have a conversation after them. But for you, this next clip kind of it was a key moment in the pod and something that you want our listeners on this feed to just take in as well.
Yeah, it's Colm Keyes talking about where Mayo are at after this defeat, and it echoes what Colm was saying in his column in the Irish Independent last week. And he reckons this defeat will set us back a lot. And I think it's worth just having a listen to that as to why he thinks that's the case.
I think it leaves them further back, Mike, than they have been after any of the recent defeats. Even last year, there was the comfort of maybe, and I won't say they use that word comfort, but there was that that things hadn't gone well injury-wise. James Horne made a quick decision to move on as manager, and then there was a little bit of excitement, a lot of excitement, obviously, about the managerial succession. Kevin McStay came in, everybody liked the look of the team, and, you know, rightly so, a lot of experience there and a lot of parts put together. And obviously that excitement carried on right through the winter, won all the competitions, the first two competitions they played some very good football in those league matches on Saturday night against Kerry and Tyrone, won the league title, bit of a blip against Roscommon, obviously, but I always felt it would correct them and set them right for the second part of the campaign. And sure enough, I thought their best performance, obviously, was down in Kerry. Again, I stress from a football point of view, that was really good. Then they hit a wall with Louth and really struggled in that game. That's a game they should have been winning well. Louth are well set up defensively, obviously, but you'd expect Mayo to manage it a lot better than conceding the 1-1 at the end, which ultimately undid them for a home quarterfinal. Would that have made a difference? Obviously not. They went on and they beat Galway. Good result, but they really should have been sitting waiting for the for a better quarterfinal draw that wasn't Dublin. They would have obviously, if they topped the group as they should have, they were going into a semi-final with a Croke Park win. All of those young players, and you know, David McBrien did well, but Jack Coyne and Sam Cowell and Colm Roof, they were all going to get a taste of Croke Park on a championship day. They've obviously been there for the league. So that Cork defeat was really troubling, and it set them off path. And I think then for that to happen against Dublin again, having got the better of them 2 years ago, so reminiscent of 2019. But James Horan had four players to bring in. Obviously, two of them are real pillars of the team now, Tommy Conroy and Ryan O'Donoghue. Oisín Mullin would be, and Owen McLaughlin as well. So you had four really good players that came in to embellish things. Are there four like that that can really drive it on now into 2024 of that quality? I'm not so sure. Are they there? I don't know. You guys would know that better. Obviously, you could nearly classify Callan. He'll be 20 or whatever. He's going to be 21 next year, 20. You know, he's going to be a better player, obviously. But who else is there? You know, Oisín Mullin is down playing professional now. He's gone. You know, he made that much progress from after 2019 to being coveted by an AFL club within 2 years, or even less than 2 years. So that's how good he was, and what a loss he is. And you know, we would have said it at the outset, and maybe you covered those things. But I feel Mayo are further back now than 2019. That doesn't mean that they're at the back of any pack or anything like that. I still think Tyrone have ground. You know, a lot of teams have gone back after the weekend, but I think Mayo, since the Louth Cork game, and even you know, there was probably elements of the Galway game when they look back weren't great too. It wasn't a great game. It wasn't a great game last week. So I think it'd be harder than ever to pick up the pieces after this one.
There you have it, Colm Keyes, just underlining what John had said up there in the link. We'll talk about that in a second, but we'll go to the last pod of the week and a really, really interesting chat between Billy Joe Padden and Mike Finnerty. It was on Friday when they recorded this one, and dust had settled, frustrations and befuddlement, if you like, continued when it comes to Billy Joe Padden in his own brilliant way, though able to kind of lay it out. John wanted you to listen to this moment in particular.
Well, when I heard that, I knew that people would have an issue with it. He didn't say it was a good year. He said it wasn't a bad year. So to be honest with you, if I was him, I probably would have just stayed away from that comment altogether. I don't think you can, in any way, can you say that it was a good year. I think that you have to consider that the championship is always the most important thing in football. You know, we won a national league, and that's great, and that's nice. But like, all anyone wants when you start the national league is to stay in Division One. That's level par. So you know, level par is not a good year, and it's not a bad year. So winning, I think, the league for any team now is only a bonus. Well, and particularly for Mayo, when we'd won one a couple of years beforehand and been in so many All Ireland finals. So I think I think you have to say that it has been a bad year when you consider the way the championship has gone. Like, it's so bizarre that if you told me at the start of the year that we were going to beat Galway or beat Kerry and Galway away, I would have said, wow, Jesus, you know, I'll take that, because we'd surely have got some other wins. But then when you think about it, and you lose to Roscommon in a poor performance, you play terrible against Louth, really, and are lucky to come away with it in some respects. And you get hockeyed by Dublin. So I think you have to front up and basically say, yeah, the championship's the most important thing in any year, and it was a bad championship.
Look at poor old Kevin McStay, John, and his wasn't a bad year. Would he take it back if he could?
I don't think he would, because I think he's it's the kind of personality he is. I mean, he's asked a straight question and he'll give a straight answer, which is what isn't something that a lot of managers will do. And some people like that. I like it. I think it's good. But an awful lot of people don't, because, you know, frankly, a lot of people don't like to be told the truth, you know, or like to be told. They want to hear people's honest opinions. They kind of want to hear what they want to hear. And people got to, you know, I mean, I noticed it really after the match straight away. Do you remember I was saying to you, Rob, on the way back from Croker, I was saying, Jesus, Kevin was really getting timber on the blog. Over what he had said, and even the fact that he had smiled during the interview. People were outraged about that, you know. And you just think, come on, like, it's in the moment. It's something that's you know, there's one take. He can't go back and redo it again without the smile. And I just felt a lot of that was unfair, but it was his opinion, and I guess it has provoked a debate since then. And, you know, that's fine too, in the sense of everyone has their opinion in terms of how the year went. I think we're all in agreement about how it ended, but what preceded it, I guess, some people are seeing it as a better year than others have.
You made a really good point there that, like, it's one thing just getting an honest opinion from someone, but if you have your opinion, you're just going to be outraged anyways. But I think you have to accept that it's okay to disagree as well. It's okay for Kevin McStay to feel it wasn't a bad year. And it's okay for you to go, no, it was a bad year, as eloquently highlighted by Billy Joe Padden. And in a slightly different way in your clip with Colm Keyes, he wasn't specifically weighing in on good and bad as much. He's just more just saying it set Mayo back. And I take issue with that, with Colm Keyes' point, which, like, in itself sounds ridiculous because the man is a mighty mind on the games. But, like, I don't really know where people thought Mayo were, because I'm listening to a lot of pundits who started the year saying Mayo are overrated or Mayo aren't really a contender. The same pundits would have said, like, I'm not going to comment on Colm Keyes, but some of the other podcasters would have been talking up Galway quite a lot. As it turns out, you know, what teams can you say at the very end of the year are definitely ahead of Mayo? You can't make the case for Galway because they couldn't beat Mayo at four attempts. You just can't make that case. You can definitely make a pretty informed case that Galway aren't that far behind Mayo either. And this defeat has really slapped Mayo back. But beyond that, John, I mean, Derry, Ulster champions, I don't think we could dare try to suggest we're better than Derry right now, no matter what happens against Kerry and Dublin. We beat Kerry twice, but I think we all agree that it'd be a different story if we're playing them in Croke Park right now, based on what we saw against Dublin, only on that. Cork could make a case, but realistically, they're in Division 2. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never a fan of power rankings anyway. You know,
okay, I went down that road. Yeah,
I don't think they mean a whole pile. I mean, I guess the point is, in terms of good, bad year, you know, did we play the year well? And I think we didn't. You know, I mean, if you look at how the year went, you would have expected maybe a bumpier road earlier on, that where we sorted out niggles, and then we became better as the year went on. And that was, in large part, the way we operated from 2011 onwards. You know, we got better as the summer went on, though never better enough. are never good enough to go and win the damn thing. But I think what was alarming, I suppose, to some degree, or certainly was upsetting about this year, was that that didn't happen, you know. And I mean, Ed McGrail wrote a really good piece for the Mayo News this week, where, you know, he was pointing to our inconsistency over the year. And I would very much share that view. I mean, we just didn't know where this team were. We weren't getting better game from game. And the Kerry result, even though it was brilliant, we were both there, it was an anomaly for the year. And what torpedoed us was that inexplicable collapse against Cork. And I think that's what worries everybody. And that's what makes this so disappointing. Because I think everything that came afterwards was informed by the Cork result. If we got the result there, we had 2 weeks off, we were sitting pretty, we had an easier All-Ireland quarter-final, and you can be damn sure, Rob, we'd be preparing for an All-Ireland semi-final this coming weekend if that were the case. So yeah, we were the architects of our own downfall, I think.
So I agree with all that, and I agree power ranks is a waste of time, but I guess I'm just perplexed by the idea that the team came in with a lot of people saying they're not contenders based on last year's heavy defeats to Kerry, I guess, and that transition word that really has to be embraced now as an acceptable new reality. Having said that,
does it though, I mean, I think, like, I would say we weren't competitors last year, and ultimately we weren't competitors this year, but that doesn't mean we can't get it right next year. I mean, I think we did screw up, and in a way it was understandable because of the new format. You know, we were saying at the start of the year, Kerry were off the pace, Galway were off the pace, Dublin were in Division 2. You know, we were flying, and there was a very short gap between league and championship. Ergo, we're doing everything right and everyone else is playing catch up, and that's really going to stand to us. Turns out that was incorrect. Kerry were probably right to ignore the league. Dublin's Division 2 adventures didn't really bother them at all. And they're the ones who are sitting pretty now. But from our point of view, it's we have to look to 2024. And the two things I would say is win Connacht and win your group. And then we're in the conversation. Then we're potentially in the conversation if we win the quarterfinal that comes after that.
Which gets back to Billy Joe's point in the podcast, in both podcasts he did with us last week, which is, you judge form on quarterfinals and don't be talking to me about form until then. And I think we all agree on that. But I will say this, I don't subscribe to the concept that the way Mayo went about the league had a negative effect in any way, shape, or form. I think this season was derailed in the 12 minutes against Cork. I think you heard me mention it in that question to Billy Joe at the start, old psychological confidence issues and, like, you know, old failings came back to haunt this group. And some of the leadership that's been brought up was really highlighted. The missing elements of the leadership that maybe this group have compared to other groups, again, was highlighted in that game. But I think the amount that derailed this group, team, because any team trying to get through that to the semi-finals via the preliminary quarterfinals, but had a huge task.
Yeah, but it's almost like, at what point does the car go out of control? And I would argue to some degree that the rock that we hit first that sent us careering out of control was the Monaghan game in the league, because that broke a sequence. And we did everything for the right reasons that day. We picked a team that was hugely changed from the week before, but that broke the winning sequence. And we never really, after that, our form in the league final, even though we won, wasn't hectic. Then the loss to Roscommon, which clearly set us back. And then the long break. And then we were kind of yo-yoing back and over across the road.
Inconsistencies come into it then. Yeah, well, I'll say this, covered in this pod, if you want to try and think of, well, the Loud game did have an effect. In all of these three podcasts that we're talking about, there's a lot of talk about the lack of direct service into Aidan O'Shea and his position. There's a lot of talk about the problems Mayo had in the middle third. There's a lot of talk about leadership. There's a lot of talk about defensive structures and Mayo possibly abandoning a strategy and what the solutions were to that strategy. So I think if you're sitting there thinking that Mayo just don't have the players and having a hope and all is lost, I think if you listen to that, you'll see that from the experts, from the expert. Well, first of all, pick yourself up, will you? For God's sake, it's only a sport. Secondly, from the expert opinions out there, you'll be able to pick a lot of crumbs from that and say, hey, well, maybe there's a lot that can be worked on, and it won't necessarily mean that we have to go off and find the next answer to whatever. But at the same time, in those podcasts, there's certainly plenty of stuff that'll just going to frustrate people even more. These are, I don't know, they're strange times. Each season, I've said this before, and I'll say this now before we tell you what's coming up next. I'll make this final point and get your reaction to it, John, which is I watch a lot of other sport. And, you know, even as a kid, I have memories of Sheffield Wednesday fans on the terrace crying at a relegation. Some reason that just etched in my brain from the 80s. But relegation in English football is such a big blow. But most teams don't suffer. Most teams sit in the middle of the table, have a season like maybe Wolves had or Crystal Palace had this year. For Mayo now, whatever way the national media shape it, as much as we shape it ourselves, each season seems to be either boom or bust. And it does feel like those Sheffield Wednesday, it does feel like a relegation as you walk out of Croke Park when the defeat is so what's the word? So full, you know, like we just got well and truly a bet off your 6 or 7 minutes in that second half. And it's a tough one to sit through. And each year does feel like a relegation. You know, you feel like, oh God, we're right back at the bottom again. Have you words of consolation for me? Or do you just kind of go, yeah, unfortunately, Rob, that's the reality?
No, but championship is like that. And you know, defeat in the championship is always a grievous blow. Maybe less so in the modern era because, you know, we had three championship defeats this summer. The first one didn't feel too bad. I think we're just annoyed about it. And second one didn't feel too good. And the third one didn't feel good either. But I just think that that's it. And you know, I think Billy Joe put it really well in the Back to the Drawing Board pod, you know, in that nearly all counties except one have that feeling at the end of every year. So we're not alone. We're in with everyone else, bar the winners of the Sam Maguire and the Thaljan Cup, of course, this year. So we're in good company. You know, we're in with the bulk there. And, you know, there'll be, what, 7 long months before inter-county gets going again. You know, are people not going to be chomping at the bit come January? I think we all know the answer to that, don't we?
If you accept that some teams had to go straight to the Thaljan Cup after their first defeat, as you understand, I think Leitrim were the first team to experience that this year when they went out to New York, and it didn't take us long to join them in the exact same space, as you know, John. All right, coming up this week on the Mayo Football Podcast, lots more pods. A couple of special guests coming along as well. We'll tell you more about that when we have it in the bag. But the Mayo ladies are out as well. Where do you find all this? Mayo Podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/MayoPodcast. What is Patreon? Patreon is an app. Download it on your phone, search for the Mayo Podcast, sign up, €5 plus VAT a month, and no commitment. Or you can even sign up for the year if you want to really delve in and log on and be part of the club, part of our clubhouse, as we say. We really appreciate everyone who signed up this year. A lot of brilliant content coming your way in the club championship. We're going to be looking to the future in terms of Mayo football development. Lots of stuff around the edges as well. We have some great fun with certain podcasts looking back at old days as well. And of course, the championship isn't over with the world of sport finally waking up to women's sport in a much more full way with, of course, the Women's World Cup right across our television screens over the next few weeks and months, the Mayo ladies football team as well. And they've structured this year's ladies championship in the right way. The quarterfinals kicking into gear this weekend, and we're hopeful that Mayo can do a second victory over Galway. John, we're going along to Pearse Stadium next Saturday as we record this.
Yeah, looking forward to that, Rob. I've seen them in action this year, but sadly only on the television or streaming. I don't think I've seen them in the flesh this year, so I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah, in funny ways, I hope they're not going the same way as the men, because they're kind of, you know, if you look at the group stage, they didn't win the group. They were beaten by Armagh, and I know Michael Moyles was really unhappy about a lot of refereeing decisions, and with a free count 2-1 against them and 2 penalties given against them. I think I can see where he's coming from, but Armagh went out that group, and because of that we've ended up in a knockout match against Galway at Pearse Stadium. Where did that happen before? But the good thing is, whoever wins won't have to be out 7 days later in an All-Ireland semi-final. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to Saturday and to seeing them in action. And this is a very open championship. I mean, back-to-back winners Meath are down in Killarney this weekend, and that's a really tough match for them. Dublin have to go to Donegal, so yeah, there's all manner. I think any of five or six teams could win this yet.
A 1:30 throw-in as well. You're not actually going to be giving up your Saturday evening plans. Mm. You can still get stuff done in the morning. Really, really worth jumping in the car and heading into Galway for that one, because they deserve our support.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And other benefits, like it's not a Sunday in Galway, so and all the nonsense in Saltaire. And also, I know from my years of ferrying up and down the country to visit kids in the Gaeltacht, next Sunday is what's known as Super Sunday, where every parent who has a child in Connemara descends on Galway, and the traffic is absolutely horrendous. I think we've actually had Mayo Galway games occurring in Salthill at the same time.
Wouldn't surprise me.
So you know the crack. So none of that. So you'd probably be able to park right up beside the ground, or close enough anyway. And as you say, she'll be home. Well, in no time.
Do you remember that time they put an air show on during the Mayo Galway match? And that's one. Ask your parents if you're one of our younger listeners. That was not good. All right, that is almost it. League football reaching the quarterfinal stages across the county next week. Our best players are going to be in action for some of the club games. One or two of them probably taking a break as well. There's a bit of a breakdown to the championships. So that'll give us a good chance to build towards what's going to be a superb club championship this year. And I think if people want to see progress for Mayo football now, John, it's in the club scene, it's players emerging, it's maybe way down the line, but whichever sides emerge, you know, from the different grades, intermediate, senior and junior, how they go in the provincial championship as well, because that didn't go very well last year. So lots to kind of watch, consider, and that's probably what Kevin McStay's management team will be doing.
Oh yeah, and like huge amount of games, all the teams in action. It'll be really interesting to see the guys who have played at minor and under 21 level to see how they're coming through at senior club level, as well as players who haven't played at underage, who for one reason or another have fallen off the radar. And like we always hear, there are any number of names to be mentioned of why isn't X, you know, tried, you know, A is better than B, who's on the panel, this sort of stuff, you know. And while there are a whole load of reasons why lads who excel in the club scene do not feature at intercounty level, it, at the same time, it's a good chance to see players in the flesh, in action, to see where the prospects are. And of course, it gives Mike his great opportunity to do his regular Bring Him In series, which is always a firm favourite on the podcast.
He has a big whiteboard at home. He has like literally hundreds of names on it, and he's ready to start talking about them. He can't wait. Mike's very excited, like kid at Christmas. That's it from us. More podcasts, as always, you know where to go, folks. patreon.com/MayoPodcasts. And that's where you get all the great coverage as we turn the table towards the future and towards the club championship. But we are really, really hopeful that this Mayo ladies group, who really feel like a special group, get the job done next Saturday. Best of luck to them. And the Final Whistle podcast coming up straight after it. Talk to you soon.
Cheers, Rob. See you in Saltaire.